Nita, that's right. Over the past 5 months, since the latest wave of terror began, there have been more than 190 stabbings in Israel and the West Bank. There have been more than 70 shootings and almost 40 car rammings. Now, in some cases, the killers have been as young as 14 or 15 years old. Hundreds of Israeli citizens have been injured, while the death toll as a result of the violence now stands at more than 30. The violence passed the five-month mark this week. There are widespread expectations it will continue for several more months. We all hope to see an end to the violence very soon.
Even on a different topic, we were all very disappointed that Israeli President Reuven Rivlin cancelled his planned visit to Australia. He even called our Prime Minister to apologize.
That's right. Israeli President Reuven Rivlin spoke on the phone on Wednesday with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull to smooth things over after he cancelled a planned visit to Australia later this month. Now, as we reported earlier, Rivlin was meant to spend 5 days in Australia visiting Melbourne, Sydney and Canberra. He was due to meet with our Governor General Peter Cosgrove as well as Malcolm Turnbull and other political figures, but instead he's gone to Moscow to meet Vladimir Putin. Now, the call between Turnbull and Rivlin was long and it was conducted in a good atmosphere. Rivlin expressed his regret at having to cancel the visit, which he said he had been looking forward to. He also emphasized that Israel regards Australia as one of its best and closest friends. He told Malcolm Turnbull about his visit to Australia as the Speaker of the Knesset and expressed his gratitude for all the aid that Australia provides to Israel. So we are hoping that Rivlin reschedules and comes and visits us down under sometime soon.
We are talking to Evan Zlatke, Sydney journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, former Israeli Defense Forces Chief Benny Gantz was in Sydney last week, and there was another guest then, Tabby hero Doron Almog.
That's right, Doron Almog. He joined Benny Gantz on the stage at UIA's General Division events. He was the first Israeli soldier on the ground during the famous 1976 rescue of almost 100 Israeli hostages who were being held at the Gondan airport after their plane was hijacked by Palestinian terrorists. He said he came all this distance from the State of Israel to Australia to tell you what his commitment from his point of view. He says, our commitment is to continue fighting for the only Jewish state, but our commitment is also a commitment of the Jewish state to stretch its hand and assist Jews who are in trouble, in suffering, in misery, any place in the world. He said he was inspired by his autistic son who passed away in 2007 at the age of 23 to set up a village for disabled children in Israel's south, which is a project of UIA. So you can read more about that story in this week's edition of the Australian Jewish News.
We are talking to Evan Zlatke, Sydney journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, the Australian government decided to lift up sanctions on Iran in the wake of last year's nuclear deal. What is the latest?
The latest is that that decision by the Australian government will actually come under the spotlight in Parliament after Labor this week moved to refer the policy change to a powerful Senate committee. Now, Melbourne Ports MP Michael Danby, the initiative's key driver, welcomed the support of Deputy Labor leader Tanya Plibersek for the move, which was announced on Wednesday. The decision, according to Danby, to suspend sanctions on the Tehran regime came without public consultation and without due process. Danby has been pushing for a parliamentary debate on this issue for several months. Listeners might remember that Danby last year erected a huge signboard in Melbourne attacking the government over Iran. There was a photo of Julie Bishop. It said, say no to Bishop's Iran deal. He also took ads in several major newspapers here in Australia. So the Senate will probe this Iran sanctions rollback and we'll all be watching very closely to see what happens.
And Evan, the University of Sydney is considering downgrading its Centre for Peace and Conflict Studies to a department. What is behind this decision? This is actually your story in the AJN this week.
That's right. So a university spokesperson told the Jewish News this week that this possible downgrading follows a review of the centre's viability sparked by a decline in student enrolments. As you said, the university is considering downgrading it from a centre into a department. Now, the centre is controversial. It's headed by Associate Professor Jake Lynch, who's been a vocal supporter of the BDS campaign. He's been embroiled in a number of controversies in recent years. Listeners might remember the protest at the Colonel Richard Kemp lecture last year when Lynch was seen goading an elderly woman after pro-Palestinian protesters stormed the room. A couple of years before that, he cited his support for BDS as the reason he refused to support Hebrew University academic Professor Dan Avnon with an application to conduct research here in Australia. So there'll be no changes to the Center for Peace and Conflict Studies programs, but the department would be able to offer undergraduate units in addition to the postgraduate courses that it presently offers. The Executive Council of Australian Jewry says that the downgrading might seem like a step in the right direction, but says it does not go far enough. We'll be watching that one closely and seeing what happens to CPACS. It's notorious, as Peter Wertheim, the executive director of the ECAJ, he said it's notorious for blurring the lines between scholarship and advocacy and for descending at times into crude propaganda. We'll have our eye closely watching that one.
And we are talking to Evan Zlatkis, Sydney journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, exciting news. Hungarian Holocaust drama Son of Saul won the Oscar for the best foreign language film last week.
That's correct, Nita. Son of Saul is the second consecutive Holocaust film to win an Oscar in the foreign film category. Now, its director, Laszlo Nemes, said that even in the darkest hours of mankind, there might be a voice within us that allows us to remain human. That's the hope of this film. As I said, it's the second consecutive Holocaust film to win an Oscar. In 2015, the Polish movie Ida, about a young soon-to-be nun who learns her parents were Jews killed during World War II, took the honours. Now, other winners on the night included the British documentary Amy, about Jewish singer-songwriter Amy Winehouse's career and her tortured life. It received the Oscar for Best Documentary Feature. Meanwhile, Josh Singer picked up the Best Original Screenplay trophy with co-writer Tom McCarthy for Spotlight, which is the story of the Boston Globe investigative team led by Jewish editor Marty Baron that exposed sex scandals in the Catholic Church.
Evan, there is a lot of information for Senior Week in the edition of the AJN this week.
That's right. I edited a 16-page supplement all about Seniors Week. There's so much to read. We have information about all the different communal organizations that are servicing the seniors in our community, everyone from Jewish Care to COA to Walpa Hospital. There's also an interesting article about downsizing your home if you're an elderly couple wanting to move out of home and work out where you're off to next. Elliot Plax of Rewai Double Bay, I have an interview with him who shares some handy tips about downsizing, and there's a lot of other interesting articles. It's a free 16-page supplement. It's in this week's edition of the Jewish News. Go and get a copy.
Evan Zlatkis, Sydney journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Thank you very much.